Your Christmas card to me was signed from Helen Snookham.
Yes, I think I remember that. Yeah. Good point. Good.
That's right, as was mine. Card
before they went out.
Yeah. Helen and Snookham sounds like a children's show.
How are you?
Helen Snookums sounds like an adult show.
I don't know where you put your hand up, but that's not what I want to hear.
No, I think you know exactly where the hand goes.
Right, are we all set?
It's Thursday night.
Let me I haven't tweeted out that we're having a show.
Come on, Governor.
Well, why should you have? You didn't expect we'd all be here.
I know. You had like 15 minutes and we fucked up.
I know. I'm the one that's causing us to be late now.
Kelly saying bad words.
Have you met Kelly?
I'm under her eyes now.
Kelly doesn't say bad words. I've never heard, ever heard Kelly say bad words.
She just did. I'm going to remember that.
You clearly misheard what she said.
That's a new show. Kelly says,
I have at one point on a podcast said the following sentence. Come on, Jeff. Give us a nice motherfucker.
What? I recorded that. I'm editing now.
Can we like get a show like where Kelly sits in like a Jackanory chair and just says bad words? with a stroking a cat.
One time after the podcast, I just started saying stuff like I just would lean into the mic and go, Millennium Vulcan. And people just kept laughing.
Kelly, do that again. Wait, I'm ready now. Go.
Millennium Falcon.
Okay, I'll see you next week.
That wasn't as sexy.
Paul Bean's bunk.
Pardon?
Your bunk? Was that bunk or spunk?
Bunk.
A bunk, jolly good. Bunk.
Oh, right, yeah, no, I heard something else as well.
It's a Whedon reference.
Jury's out on whether I've got to delete spunk or not.
No. You know, it's...
No, you don't have to delete
it's
spunk.
It's a phrase we get because of Firefly when he goes, I'll be in my bunk.
The gamer show has been using Badger Spunk all year, and I can't... I gave it...
Spunk has multiple meanings in the United States. So I can say, I'm full of spunk, and you should be too, and it can mean a bunch of different things. Actually, it can mean two things.
The gamer
but
show,
I only mean it one way.
The gamer show has been using Badger Spunk all year. Makes it sound like it's a face cream, doesn't it?
That's why we look so young.
Oh, dear.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Okay. No. I've recorded all that.
That's why Andy Peters looks so young.
Well, no, moving on. Because that's potentially liable. Everyone keep quiet. Shush, I'm concentrating. Hello, it's the big show. We're here.
Yes, it is.
I don't know whether to put the pre-show in or not.
Maybe not.
Maybe not this week.
Oh, how you all doing? Blimey. Oh, no. Someone's put a link in the chat room.
No, I am so not clicking that.
You gotta click that. And maybe apparently...
If Batwench put something in... Hold on, I have to switch to incognito mode, then I can click it.
and it looks like you can use it as a face cream. There we go. Yeah. How's that? How are we all doing?
No kidding. I need to hold on to this article. just saying.
Hold
Jeff
tight.
Just changed his cool thing. Yeah.
That's... No. Oh... L'Oreal will pick up the
Can I bottle and market this?
No. You'll have to get in ahead of all the others. the Week in Tech. Here to discuss the Week in Tech with me. Fantastic panel. Shut up. Top left. It's the man, Alan. How you doing, sir? Alan Hauschel, a.k.a. Snookums. How's it going, buddy?
I'm doing good, thanks. Yeah, you know, crazy at work, but yeah, no, nice to be here this evening, and obviously was lots of big news last night with the Windows stuff.
Right, so I was just going to say, how long are we going to go before you mention the glasses that we're supposed to get out of Back to the Future 2?
I was going to save it till the end.
You can go first, and you can have first story this week, Alan, because I want to hear all about it, because I didn't watch it, because I was doing the bloody Mac show, bastards. Microsoft, I dare they.
I just have to point out that that Microsoft is the only company that could have made Google Glass look cool. And that's with their new Holo whatever glasses.
Really?
Hello, Back to the Future glasses.
I was going to say, you know, they're actually out glass. Because, you know, you've got full color, you've got both eyes. You know, not just
you put those on and you are not going to get laid, period.
Look, and was that a problem with Google Glass? Did it bring all the girls to the yard?
No, it didn't. But in comparison, you're more likely to get some yard action with Google Glass than with the Microsoft goggles.
I think that's the show title, Yard Action with Google Glass.
No.
I think it's a pretty long shot with either.
We've had enough about milkshakes. Moving on.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Google Glass is, you know, your long shot is Mars, Microsoft HoloLens, Venus.
Moving on swiftly.
I don't know, you and, you know, do you want to cover any of the other Windows stuff, or do you just want to cover HoloLens?
No, let's cover all the Windows stuff, and you shall be our guide, Mr. Hauschel, because there is no one more Windows than you here, I fancy. Yeah.
So I need a new story then.
No, because the thing is that Alan's a Windows lover, whereas Wrighty has to deal with it every day, so he hates it.
Okay, well, I'll go from the top, sort of in the order they did the
Are we done introducing? Did we just forsake that altogether?
I guess so. Next to him,
hello,
Jeffrey Gamet, who we already know how he is, and he's just about to take a cup of coffee. And how you doing, buddy?
Actually, tea, not coffee. I'm not a coffee kind of guy.
Okay. But you still go to
and my water comes from a kettle, not from from the microwave, because
excellent,
because so I'm not a savage.
No, God, no. Jesus Christ. How have you been, mate? We missed you last week.
Sorry, the timing didn't work out for last week. I was recording another show and didn't end in time.
I called you a bad name, but I didn't mean it. It was a joke. I said it as a jest.
And
you've only got to listen to the first 30
I just assumed you were flirting.
Okay. next to him, Kelly G. How's it going, girl?
I am well. I do have coffee. And I have additional backup coffee for my coffee.
And a new windshield.
No, not yet. That's a long story. But I too do not get water from the microwave because I'm not a savage. I have a water boiler, a Japanese water boiler that's plugged into a Wemo. So I get hot water from my phone.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. Get a geek.
Because I'm a nerd like that, son. Yeah.
Saba.
That's we just done, you know, when they do slam poems against each other? Is that like a tech slam thing? You've just thrown down your lick.
I guess so, yeah.
And now I have to go buy all this Wemo gear just so I can plug my electric kettle into it. I was all excited because I have a kettle that checks the temperature so it knows boiling point and all that. And I can program different temperatures and times into it. And now I have to hook it up to a Wemo so that I can control it with my iPhone.
I've got one that boils the water. Friggin' innovative.
Wow, that's what mine does too.
Yeah.
Now, mine takes boils the water, but it won't shut off,
which I'm well impressed by.
Because it assumes boiling point is at sea level, and I'm at 5,400 feet, so it's about 8 degrees lower temperature here for boiling point.
But surely the temperature of the water... Oh, so it keeps going up to 100, and it can't get there because it's boiling.
Right. It's boiling before it ever reaches the standard water temperature you need for boiling because the air pressure's lower.
Yeah, of course, jolly good. Yeah. That's impressive. Yeah. Mine doesn't stop boiling either, but that's because it's shit and it's knackered. next to him, it's Righty Boy.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Fresh out of the student union bar. How you doing, mate?
The student union bar, yeah. I keep him in business.
How's it going?
I'm going all right. I'm full of cold and stuff, but you know, I've fought it through. I'm here.
You made it through the wilderness.
I'm here for you guys.
You really made it through.
Yeah.
Didn't know how lost you were.
And, I know how lost I am. I really do.
Until you found Terry Barriff. How you doing, mate? Long time.
Hello. I'm excellent. And yes, it's been a very long time. I think the last time I was here was just before I got married. I'm a married man now.
Jolly good. Are you still in Scotland?
Congratulations.
I'm no longer in Scotland as well. I've moved back home to sunny Birmingham. Sunny Birmingham. but yeah, I'm glad to be home.
I've been in Staffordshire today. It's been gorgeous.
Has it?
Cool and crisp, but sunny. It's been nice.
I've missed out.
I've had no phone signal. It's the only, I've got to say.
the sun comes out so the phone signal hides?
Well, pretty much, no. I put my phone.
Are you with Vodafone by any chance?
I got there and I had three and I had one little dot on my phone and I stuck it in my pocket and the next time I pulled it out, it was no service. And at lunchtime, I left it out to say, right, come on, you can do it. And I even switched it off and switched it back on again with a hard reset. I still couldn't get a cell tower. So I've had no phone calls, no text messages, no emails all day. It's been an absolute heaven. Fantastic. Just working. The Week in Tech. Alan's going to start us off. Now Alan's going to take you through Microsoft. Tell us more, Al.
So, yeah, obviously sort of 2 and a little bit hours of Windows 10 presentation was streamed on the web yesterday. And then the sort of group of about 50 journalists were also shown many other things in the afternoon. But, I mean, of the stuff that sort of come out, I guess the big initial headline was, Windows 10 is due to hit us autumn this year, and it's been announced that it's going to be a free upgrade for all Windows 8 users, but also all Windows 7 users, as long as they upgrade within the first year of Windows 10's release.
Well, they want rid of that, don't they? Because they've stopped native support for it now, so.
Well, I mean, that's a big thing, obviously, to not just give away Windows 10 to Windows 8 users, but also Windows 7 users.
That's really huge. That's very generous.
Yeah, and obviously, I guess the only ones that aren't included would be, XP's gone out of support. I guess Vista users will have to pay for it, but there's 5 of them, yeah.
Yeah, but new users will get to pay for it, aren't they? You buy a new laptop, then the cost of the Windows 8, Windows 10 license is going to be in your new laptop.
So if you buy new hardware, Windows 10 license will be part of the cost, as it's sort of always been. If you're interested in the consumer preview, that's due out next week, the first one. So, anyone can jump on the bandwagon and get the updated stuff. Most of the updated stuff they showed, some of the stuff they showed isn't ready for consumer release yet, but will be coming in future releases. I guess the other big one is they confirmed that Windows 10 for phones will be coming to all Windows 8 phones, existing phones.
Right.
And there'll be all of them.
That's a very non-Windows upgrade policy. I'm very surprised.
That's impressive.
They had previously said that all Lumia phones were going to get Windows 10.
Yes.
I'm waiting to see whether or not when they say all phones, they do mean things like, the HTC 8X original one and stuff like that that got very left behind by things so far. But they do, and the first, there's going to be a public preview of Windows Phone 10 as well, which is going to be out in February. So if you want to try Windows 10 on your phone, you'll have an opportunity coming in February. Obviously, sort of 3 weeks.
That doesn't sound like a very smart idea. I mean, putting beta software on your phone, if you need to actually really use your phone.
It's going to be braver, isn't it, than,
Well, to be fair, though,
lately, it's been a bit of a roll of the dice, even if you were putting out legitimately released software. I'm looking at you, Apple.
All right, there is that.
Well, I happen to be on a podcast right this minute with somebody who I said, hey, 8.1.1, I think, is out, and it's ready. And that person said, why? Yes, as a matter of fact, my phone says so. Let me install it on my 6 right now. And then came back about 10 minutes later and said, yeah, so I can't make calls anymore.
Who was that?
Yeah.
Jeff.
That would be me.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that update, it actually shut off the cell radios in your iPhone.
Yep.
And there was no way to turn them back on, aside from doing a factory restore so that you were back to base 8.0 operating system. It wasn't as simple as just going in and doing a restore. You had to go get the IPW file, and restore manually, and
And we all know
was a hoot.
8.0 was. Oh.
Yeah, good times.
That was the one that they released and then had to pull 3 hours later because everybody that put it on was unable to make phone calls. They're like, yeah, oops.
So, Alan, I mean, they've got to be fairly confident in their software not bricking your phone for them to offer it as an update, you know, straight away as a beta, because there's a lot of people aren't going to be able to restore, right? No. There's a lot of people. I mean, I think there's a long history of having to get back from iPhone updates, whereas there isn't a long history of rolling back from Windows Phone updates, is there? I've never had to do it.
No,
that's a good point.
You know, the major problem Microsoft so far have said, you know, had is the problems of just the updates coming out so slowly with carriers blocking them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They've said, interestingly, they've said sort of there's rumors that basically with this preview and in Windows 10, they are actually going to do direct releases, including the firmware. Because in Windows Phone 8, you've been able to go on the developer preview for free, even if you're not a developer, and get the latest software. So, for example, I've been running Windows Phone 8.1 Update 1 since August. Not yet been officially launched on my carrier EE in the UK, although it's due in the next month or so. But that means I've got the OS update, but I haven't got any firmware updates. Mm. And that's still worked out quite stably and stuff. So, you know, fingers crossed they don't mess anything up with stability. But there are some pretty, well, they showed some reasonably big changes for Windows 10 for phones.
Mm-hmm.
The start screen obviously will still have tiles, but it's going to be much more like the Windows desktop start screen in that you're going to have a background picture, and then you'll have your tiles on top, with potentially the option to change them to semi-transparent, like they've just released for Xbox One, but not as you currently got it, which is where you sort of see the background picture through your transparent tiles. So there's a bit of a change, but that's all so that they can sync your theme. So when you change your wallpaper, change your colors, it will happen across your phone and your PC and your Xbox, I guess, if you want it to.
So can I derail you just for a second, Snowgums?
Yeah.
So I heard a lot of stuff about because I got to listen to about half of the event, and I sort of kept hearing, we're going to do this thing, da-da-da-da, and also Xbox, and we're going to do this thing, and da-da-da, and with the Xbox, and includes the Xbox, and always with the Xbox, and, like, is that everybody's Xbox? And does it matter that much? Like, because I have the Xbox One. No, not the
They're holding off on the Xbox.
I have the 360 Elite, and like a plain old 360 Elite, and which is basically just the original 360 without the Red Ring of Death. And I don't use it a super bunch or anything, so I'm trying to figure out, like, is this some sort of huge advantage to the rest of the world that I'll buy Xbox in that I'm just not seeing?
No, when they say Windows 10 coming to Xbox, they only mean to Xbox One, not to Xbox 360.
I have to say, we got an Xbox One at Christmas. I got it for my stepson. I was loath to get one because for a long time I was PlayStation this, PlayStation that, and, you know, yeah, it's brilliant. And now we've got it, I'm actually kind of impressed with this. It's kind of... it's a media hub, essentially. I mean, you can put it in, you plug it into everything, and it turns it on, it turns this off, it Xbox listens, stop listening. I'm impressed, genuinely impressed with it. And so I actually think the introduction of the Windows 10 to that could potentially be positive. I mean, it's, essentially giving an OS a boost to it.
Well, as I say, the Xbox One already runs three OSs effectively. It's got a Xbox Gaming OS, which has access to the 5 gig of RAM out of the mm-hmm. 8, and then it's got a 3 gig Windows OS, and then it's got a multitasker that can switch between the OSs and window them, so you get the snap views and stuff, and you can do multiple things at the same time. So it will be the Windows OS that gets updated to Windows 10,
okay.
Not obviously messing with the Xbox lower level video gaming OS. And but that means that they will be able to do, they've already started with Universal Apps is the name they call them, which is where a developer can write an app and basically you reuse the majority of the code, apart from sort of making the screen resolution, the screen display, sort of responsive to the size it's on. But in Windows 10, they're going to make it a single app store, and then you'll be able to publish to Windows Desktop, Windows Phone, and Xbox with the same app.
Well done, Sachin.
Okay, so when I saw some of the other stuff, I saw was like the Windows Phone update is going to come with an Xbox app.
Yes.
And some of these other things. And like maybe it's just because I don't have a One or because I don't put very many miles on the Xbox that I have. But what does that app do and why would I care about it?
Well, you've already got that though.
So what
smart glasses on the app phone, that you use now.
On the phone and the desktop, you've already got smart glass apps.
Which is 360
which allow you to
compatible.
Do certain things related to your Xbox.
And is 360
However,
compatible, isn't it?
The new Xbox app for Windows 10 sort of shows up more of your feeds, your news, etc. But the big one of their surprise big things was basically it will allow you to stream your Xbox One games to any Windows 10 PC or tablet in your house.
What?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's bananas. Wow.
So, if someone's using the Xbox One and the TV for something, fine. As long as you've got a Windows PC or tablet, Windows 10 PC or tablet.
Do you take your laptop
any other
room
one in the
Halo anyway?
Sorry?
Oh.
Say again, Kelly.
Remote play.
Yeah.
In-home remote play.
See,
I understand why that's interesting. Okay.
So, the thing is, the chat room's going off on PlayStation love here. Bronwyn wants to get a tattoo on her arse. Terry's joining in. But when I bought my Xbox One for the office, I have an Xbox One in here that's just for me to play games. And I said, should I go PS4 or should I go Xbox One? God love Paul Wheatley said, you've got to go Xbox One. Definitely, because that's where the expansion is going to come. It's where all the fun's going to be. PlayStation is just going to be a PlayStation, whereas the Xbox One is going to be everything you want it to be in the future. And he's dead.
The PlayStation... PlayStation have actually last week released to the UK. Before that, it was only available in Japan. The PlayStation TV, which I'd say released, I don't know if it's pre-order, if it is actually released, it's about £79. And it, to be honest, I mean, it feels just like they're trying to jump on the TV device bandwagon. So I'm not that impressed. However, it does sound feel a bit like they're trying to branch out a bit.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is something that, for a start, if you look at the things that I've seen that Alan's just talked about, I'm kind of like, wow, that sounds really, really good. So they've hooked me already because I've got an Xbox One. So they've already got me listening. And, what's going to pull me back to Windows Phone? Because the only thing that pulled me away from Windows Phone was 240 frames a second video on the iPhone. The rest I couldn't care about because everything else I was fine with. So I might be going back to Windows Phone.
Nice one there, Ewan, is they did specifically announce, say, two or three times there will be new flagship Windows phones coming, obviously, associated with Windows 10.
They're not going to walk away from the PureView sensor. No. They're going to carry on with that. There's no question that. Just not yet. If you look at one of the Windrider quants in the chat room, he's saying, well, I'd be interested to see what Windows 10's like. I might go out and just buy a 530. That'll do me. I'll see what it looks like. I've got a 520 for Ellis. It cost me 70 quid. I don't care if he loses it or not. It doesn't matter. And he absolutely adores it. He doesn't want an iPhone. Wow. He wants his Windows 520. Sharon's on a 930. Sharon's on a 930. She loves it.
If you're looking for a budget Lumia, I would say, and if you can find it, the 635 is really keenly priced, and actually most people would consider it a mid-range.
Yeah, the camera's on, it's passable.
Well, I'll say I'm really my cool thing related, but I've got a 735 here.
Have you had that?
And I will go with what Ewan said on his early days of having a Windows phone. It's a damn good operating system. Actually works really well.
Beautiful touch interface, absolutely fine.
And the it works really well.
You've now got the Xbox integration. Ellis will badger me for an Xbox One at some point soon, I'm sure. Now you start talking about holographic Minecraft using HoloLens. I have managed to get Ellis, every time he's walked past the computer that's got something up and he sees like a feed on Microsoft, I managed to turn his head. No, keep walking. Because
well
I know
done.
Damn well, as soon as he sees holographic Minecraft, I am $2,000 out of pocket.
Do you know, that was the thing that melted my Twitter feed. Like, I know a lot of tech enthusiasts who were on and, like, listening to the event. I knew a few people that were there, and they were reporting stuff back live and in person. And then all of a sudden, we get to holographic Minecraft, and my Twitter feed melted.
Yeah.
And everybody went, oh, my God, the second my kids see this, I'm done.
Well, I've just got this thing in my head. They got this thing, the HoloLens, right? And they put it all out, and they go, what can you do? Well, you could put a globe up, and you could spin it around, and everyone's like, yeah. You could look at your hand, and it would be like an X-ray specs type thing. And everyone's going, yeah. And then someone said, we could buy Minecraft, and you could do Minecraft in holographic 3D.
Yeah.
And then the needle drags across.
So did you actually, like, get a little digger and start, you know, digging at the sofa to get the little blocks out? That would be cool.
I can sit there and old Nish or whatever his name is. What's his name? The guy that did Minecraft. Oh, bugger. What's his name? The guy that invented Minecraft.
Yeah.
That guy.
That bloke.
Nish. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, you'd think we'd remember. That was one of the questions in the Christmas quiz.
Exactly. Well, he's sitting. I wasn't here for that.
Ewan wasn't even here.
No, he's sitting in his 70 million pound mansion that he stole off Beyonce and Jay-Z with his 2.3 billion in the bank, going, oh, shit, I should have sold it for more. I went out cheap. What do you think we could get Minecraft for and do it 3D and holographic with HoloLens? Someone goes, offer him 2 billion. Yeah, that'll work.
Personally, I was really excited about the stuff that, you know, to hear that starting in June, you know, NASA is using that to holographically walk on Mars and work
Isn't
out where they want
awesome?
To send the rover next.
That is really cool.
Mm. Oh my God, it was so cool.
I tell you what, Microsoft has just leapfrogged Apple and slapped it round the face on the way through.
Well, have they?
Well,
that's
I don't
point.
Know.
Have
I'm going to get an email.
Well, is it too little too late? Because in the kind of getting burnt on the Windows 8 thing, have people moved on to other things like tablets and Chromebooks and all that sort of thing? Has there been a too long a period of people actually doing other things and moving on to other operating systems?
Well,
and let's point out that we haven't seen any of this yet. All they've done is come out and say, doesn't this look cool? And there's very little, if any, of this out in the world yet. So, and I only say that because Microsoft has been known to make the amazing announcement before, and then we've all kind of been disappointed by it. Like, Windows 8 looked awesome. You know, Microsoft is really good at the Phantom Menace effect.
In that period.
It looked great until you got your hands on it, and then you went, really?
So, the press got to play with it in the afternoon, and, for example, Paul Theroux was sort of had a bit of a write-up of it, and I know a lot of other ones did. Supposedly, it is, well, the first version of it is due to be out at the time that Windows 10 ships, so autumn this year. I mean, that's obviously quite impressive in that it could have been rolled out just as a tech demo that we'd
see for
3 years.
Yeah. But once it's out in the world, it's really, I'm telling you, it's the Phantom Menace effect. It looked great in all the trailers, and then you finally get your hands on it and give it a good run through, and you're really disappointed.
Well, yeah. there's a lot of very good pictures out there. I mean, this is all clearly photoshopped and very badly in the case of the motorbike here. But they should have come to me. I'd have done a better job than that. But you know, if they can actually get anything to look close to how good that Minecraft Village works, and this one really impresses me. So this is like, I want an on-screen menu, and the world becomes your screen effectively, and you can actually touch the buttons on the on-screen menu in front of your face. If that works, holy shit!
If that kind of stuff actually can happen, then that's, like I said, if what they showed us is actually what we get, then it's going to be amazing.
I think what Microsoft showed us is that they... Yeah, I think what Microsoft showed us is that they own the gaming console market. No one else can compete with them now. Mm-hmm. As far as how useful or how popular features like the HoloGlass thing is going to be outside of gaming and like special markets where you're doing virtual reality, NASA using it for Mars stuff. I don't know. I'm guessing that the average person isn't going to get all hot and bothered about these glasses, but man, for Xbox gaming and specialty uses, this is the bomb.
Can you imagine being a med student and like you get to practice heart surgery before you actually have to crack a dude open? Like that seems awesome.
You know they get to practice
that'd
already,
be pretty
right?
Cool with
the other thing that I'd say is really cool is that, you know, this, okay, the headgear is sort of big and bulky band, yeah, but the really crazy thing is that is, you know, the whole thing. That is a whole Windows 10 computer running, you know, CPU, mm-hmm. GPU, and this holographic
PU. Doesn't rely on the phone.
So, you know, I think... they say it is standalone and will work. Now, whether or not it's got a SIM card in it or more sensibly probably uses your phone data plan, but, you know, all the processing is happening in that band and stuff.
Well, this
does go a long way to say, oh, why is it a bit chunky?
To be fair, Alan, I've looking at everything that I've looked at on this, this isn't meant to be Google Glass. This is not meant to be worn every day in the street. This is meant to be in the home. Every picture I've got up here that I've cribbed to put into the podcast is home use. This is you sit down like you would with your Xbox. You're not going to carry this around anymore. You are going to carry your Xbox. And you put this thing on.
The best thing about this is the first chucklehead that tries to roll into Starbucks wearing one of these is so showing up on Jeff's blog.
Oh, yeah. And someone get a photo for me. Please.
Dude, it's a dude out of Tron.
Like, I think, Jeff, you need to put a bounty on this. Like, you will
send
somebody a bottle of something if they send you a picture of the guy that rolls into Starbucks to read his email on his hollow glasses.
I can make that happen. Yeah.
You'll have to move to Seattle anyway, just be lurking around coffee shops and the Microsoft campus now.
We have an office here, too, so it's possible I'll see one.
All right, Kelly, keep your eyes peeled.
Oh, no.
I'll do it.
What the hell? Muller's just put a link in the chat room, and I clicked it on good faith.
Oh, no.
Had X in the domain name. And
I never read it.
I'm not clicking it.
No. I really got that should have been by default now. In incognito mode when I clicked that.
That's
just saying.
Now,
Are we formulating a new business model here where, you know, you hand over, like, the remote keys to your computer and somebody can come scrub your browser history at opportune moments?
Gosh. You mean after every British tech show?
Yeah, pretty much.
I now want to know what monster porn is.
Oh, I'm not sure you do, hon.
I'm intrigued. It's
Snow White in the same way again.
That's like a leg.
That wasn't Snow White.
Oh my word, I can't go frozen anymore either. Jesus.
Now I can't get it to close.
You're not supposed to keep clicking on things. Once you've opened it, close it. That's it.
Let it go. Let it go.
It's like my web browser just got an STD or something.
Oh, thank God porn storms were a thing of the past, because my screen would be covered now.
Oh, with what?
No, that's not what I meant. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Badges.
Does anyone...
Jason's just clicked
what
it.
They announced for the changes to Windows itself? I'm guessing not.
Well, no, yeah. Well, for an enterprise kind of thing, that's where we're going to move to next, obviously. Because this more kind of desktop orientated, or based on what kind of device you have in the consumer market, is Microsoft cool enough now for kids to pick it up again? Now, I think the time has come and gone.
I think the big thing is, I'd say, you know, I mean, before Christmas, there seemed to be a lot of pent up demand for these new breed of cheap Windows tablets. I mean, I picked up a Link 7-inch.
Got a few here,
tablet. Yeah, I mean, well, I practically couldn't refuse, because, you know...
Was it 70 quid?
I got mine for 20.
Oh.
Damn you.
No, it's all right. It was 20 quid on Amazon as a bundle with an Xbox One, because I only bought my Xbox One this Christmas. I mean, you know, 60 to 70 quid retail price, and that comes with 1 year of Office 365, which would cost 72 quid on its own. And that Office 365 comes with initially 1 terabyte, going up to 10 terabytes if you ask, and unlimited in the near future. It costs 90 quid for 1 terabyte of Dropbox a year. So, for 70 quid, you've got... I've now got a 10 terabyte SkyDrive, OneDrive.
They just want to get devices in the hands of people. They want to get people using them, don't they?
Yeah, and it's a really great little tablet. What did you buy for the 70 quid? Sorry, Kenny.
What was the thing that you bought?
Link, LIN, 7-inch tablet. They also do it in 8-inch and 10-inch.
I bought one for the mother-in-law. She loves it.
I know, for example, on the eBay link that I saw, which seems to be where a lot of people in the UK are buying them from, the eBay listing was talking about that one eBay listing has sold over 3,000.
It's a great little tablet.
Before Christmas.
That's crazy.
I bought two. I've got one to give away, actually. I'm going to give it away in the Patreon thing. But it runs Windows 8, and it's absolutely brilliant. And it comes free. You get a 1 terabyte, 1 terabyte of OneDrive with it, free of charge with it. And you get Office 363 a year. So that's...
And remember, also, that Office 365 for a year, Ewan, actually is the Office 365 personal. So that gives you a license to run full Office on that tablet, but also a copy for another tablet. So would give you the full license for, say, an iPad or an Android tablet.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Office. And if you just email the OneDrive people, they'll through a preview link, then they'll upgrade you from 1 terabyte to 10 terabytes for free.
And can you drop that eBay link in the chat? I kind of want one. I'm curious about Windows 8. Like, I have a Nexus tablet. I have a Windows laptop. I'm not 100% Apple. It's just that when I'm doing stuff, I'm mostly doing it with an Apple device, like, you know, actual work and things. But I'm always curious. I'm a technology enthusiast. I prefer Apple, but I like the other stuff too.
Yeah.
I'm curious what they're doing.
That one's a different seller than I saw all of these ones going through, I'm afraid.
Type in Link's tablet, L-I, and that's it, you'll find it.
But yeah,
it's not.
That's the tablet that we've got. And as I say, 7-inch, it's nice, and I've gone and got a case with a removable USB wireless keyboard. It's really speedy.
It's good.
Got a decent amount of grunt, and it's ridiculously low priced. And yeah, they're throwing in this year of Office 365 free, which basically almost anything that's 8-inch or under.
But it all sounds great. And Microsoft were obviously at the keynote trying to look not so corporate. They were all kind of sitting there with their open collars and all that sort of thing. How do I sell Windows 10 to my 11-year-old daughter, who a generation of when they're kind of growing up in the last 3 years of Windows 8, which has kind of been a bit of a burn, how do they gain that next generation of consumers? Because they have really burnt them. Because it has been, you know, Windows 8 has been a bit of a failure in Microsoft's kind of thing, you know, trying to mesh that kind of desktop with tablet operating system. And a lot of people ask kind of, you know, people ask me, going, how do I under Windows 8 my PC?
You know, that's Windows 10. The answer is go to Windows 10.
It should be an easy sell for Windows 10 because it's not like it's going to suck worse than what you have now.
They've got tablets and they've got Chromebooks and they've got all that sort of thing since then. How do you win them? You know, if they're on Windows still, yes, you can win them back and here's some new upgrades. But they've found other things to do in that time.
I mean, the advantage for Microsoft's happy to play the long game, I think. You know, they've acknowledged that. I mean, Windows 8 wasn't a bad idea if everyone at the time, if Windows 8 had just arrived on new touchscreen hardware. Unfortunately, it didn't. The hardware manufacturers all charged a premium for touchscreen devices, so everyone went with non-touchscreen, and everyone ended up installing Windows 8 on existing PCs, because you tended to upgrade Windows, and that was the habit we'd all got into. And yeah, until, you know, Windows 8.1 righted quite a few wrongs, so it's a lot better to use on a desktop. But I agree that, you know, things, obviously Windows 10, you get back, if you're using a mouse and keyboard, it will default to a start menu, which has a sort of program icons and pops up from the bottom left-hand corner. It does also have some room for tiles. You can choose to grow it to full screen if you want, or if you're on a keyboardless device, it will automatically go to the full screen start screen. You've also got the much better things of window controls and, you know, they've got rid of the charms bar for mouse and keyboard users, which I know confused and infuriated people. And other things they're doing, such as they're effectively bringing the Action Center from Windows Phone to Windows Desktop. So you'll be able to either swipe in or click in near the clock in the corner if you're on mouse and keyboard, and up pops, you know, system-wide notifications that you can dismiss, action, and has quick shortcuts like it does Action Center on Windows Phone. So, you know, they're doing a lot, but I agree that, you know, they did go and hand a lot to Google. On the other hand, I'd say younger users are probably more likely to just try out things. And if they've got the price down to...
It's a utilitarian thing, though, isn't it? The kids, I think, are open enough to just say, well, I'll do whatever gives me the end result. Because they haven't got a history of buying into something. They haven't got a brand loyalty that kind of goes with it. They just, you know, your daughter looks at Mac and goes, well, I can do it on this, and it's easy on this, so therefore I'll do it on this. Whereas if something came along and said, actually, come and do it on this because it's far easier, she'd go, I'll do it on that then because it's far easier. I don't think you get a brand loyalty until you start spending your own money.
Well, okay. Well, if I look at it like that, then when we moved in the enterprise sense to Windows 7, we had to sell it to the users because it was a mass move to Windows 7. How then, as an enterprise manager, do I sell Windows 10 to my users? Well, we've skipped an operating system completely. We'll go from 7 to 10. How do I sell that? That's the interesting point. And obviously, I know the first keynote that they did was kind of enterprise, we haven't gotten you and the desktops back and all that sort of thing, and you know, we're going to bring back the start menu and all that sort of thing, because the start menu disappearing was a huge thing for a lot of people, and we use hacks to get around that sort of thing. But in enterprise market, which is obviously Microsoft's biggest market, how do you sell that to thousands and thousands of users?
Well, we got to get off XP someday.
Well, I mean, speaking through a corporate IT market, you've only got to sell it to the person that writes the budget. And once you've sold it to that person, everyone else will have to have it. So you're not selling it as a user experience, are you? You're not selling it like a commercial sale in a shop. You're trying to make the integration easier and the uptake easier. But actually, if you walk in and go, this is the our corporate IT policy, stiff shit, then...
Yeah, but I've talked to individual people in part of my job is talk to individual people and go, what the hell are you doing this to us? You know, it's... And you always get that. Is if we release something new in IT, people always go, why are you doing this to us? And when we brought up Windows 10, people go, why are you doing this to us? It's not... XP to Windows 7 was a really hard push.
From 7 up, it shouldn't be so bad, right?
Yeah.
Where I work, it's a very hard push.
Well, I'm sure everything is hard, but I feel like upgrading from XP to anything was unpleasant at best. Mm. Like, even if it went well, it wasn't like it went well. So it seems to me like once you've gotten across the divide and you're using something like Windows 7, it seems to me, just based on the stuff I sort of hear from people who live in the Windows trenches, that it's easier to go from 7 to something else, 7 to 8 or 7 to 10, than it was to go from XP to anything.
Well, that's the thing we had, and it's an argument I had before, but actually this year is the first year we've ever had it. We actually had a large influx of Macs over PCs for the first time ever.
Interesting.
People are kind of like, actually, if I've got a new OS, I'll learn a new OS. And we actually have had an influx of more Macs than anything else. And they're kind of like, actually, I'm going to learn this instead of anything else. And I think that's where Windows has lost the ground.
So, Paul, if you have a look at, I dropped in the chat room a link to, the picture of the Windows 10 desktop. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think the main
one is not the one that says Monster Paul.
It doesn't.
No, I've got the right one.
Yes, Ewan, it is.
So, I mean, that one, I would say, does not look scary. I wouldn't say that looks scary to a Windows 7 user. That looks like, thank God they've got rid of that that scary full screen.
That looks really nice.
2010 Office 2013 scared people where I work. Well, Windows 10 will scare them. It will absolutely petrify them. The part of my job is the PR of us rolling out something. We're in the middle of Office 365 right now, and people are so scared.
You walk up to me and say, look, we do this regularly. You should be getting used to it. I know. Bend over, drop your trousers.
Yeah, we do, and trousers drop regularly. I don't generally take a mockery of it, but we... People are scared of change. You know, XP to 7 was scary. Except, 2010, or 2003 to 2007, 2010 to 2013 was a scary process. It didn't go well. I think 22 Windows 10 will be another scary thing. And obviously, we're obviously planning our rollout to 2010, because obviously that's the next place we're going to go. We're going to skip 8 completely, but... These are normal people. These are normal people who are not computer literate. They do it as part of their jobs. And they are comfortable with what they are saddled with for like 3 or 4 years or 5 or 6 years.
They're still using XP. I mean, it takes that drastic move, though. I mean, this was something we talked about. This isn't just, I don't think this is just sort of indicative of operating systems. It is, when we're talking about development of any kind of systems, when you're doing something new and you're doing something different, you'll get, oh, I don't like that. That's red. It used to be blue. Rather than actually, I don't like that because... it stops me from doing something that I used to do. And the kind of feedback you get is usually aesthetics, not actually, this is going to change my life because it's doing this for me.
Yeah. Well, we actually get less resistance from the people who move from PC to Mac than the PC move from one operating system on Windows to a later version of Windows. We actually get less resistance from the people who move to Mac. They go, actually, this works.
And I'm sure there's also the expectation going in that they're learning something new.
So you're right. you're more ready and accepting of change.
Can we just
Whereas
all?
If you're going from Windows to Windows, you go, "Oh, why did they bloody move that? Why did they?"
Exactly. Yes.
Right. Sorry. Just getting everyone stopped because Jeff has been trying forever to get a word in edgewise, and he's been
oh, I thought I did.
Time. No one heard you, mate. I think you were on mute, or just everyone ducked you. What did you just say, mate?
Then everyone ducked me. No, what I was saying is that when you get people moving from Windows to Mac, they tend to be less resistant because they already have the expectation that they have to learn something new and things will change.
Yes.
But when you're going from one version of Windows to another, then people tend to freak out because what they did before, they can't do now, or they have to do it in a different way.
But they see that they should be in the same garden.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it just offends you when you get to a new version, you know, like, what was wrong with this the way it was? And, you know, your mindset when you jump from one version, one operating system to a completely different operating system is like, it's all going to be different. I'm going to have to figure out everything from top to bottom. And when you go from a version of Windows to a version of Windows, you don't feel like that's supposed to be the case. And so it's just it ends up being irksome.
The other thing as well is, I think change is sold sometimes in organizations as like, right, don't get mad, but we're going to change everything.
Just
kind of gives everyone this idea that it's going to be horrific rather than, tell you what, we got the best thing since sliced bread. I can't show it you yet because it's all hush-hush. But, oh, man, I'm telling you, it's coming. And you just do that for a few weeks. People start, really, really, really? You know, change is sold dreadfully in organizations. Most of the organizations I go to, there's a terrible change process. A lot of organizations. There's terrible change processes take place.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I had just a question about Omnidevice working with Windows 10, because I've been in this rather excellent machine. It's a ThinkPad, a Lenovo ThinkPad, but although got the keypad and I like it. I don't understand why it does this. It scares me. When I first did that, I got scared. I thought I broke it. But yeah, my point being anyway, that I can open things without meaning to, but I can also, you know, do the whole touch screen. Okay, I'm supposed to be able to, but I've broken something.
Well, you opened it too far.
I opened something. Yeah, I broke it by turning it up too much. But yeah, what would happen with that whole start menu button and everything like that, where it does a bit of both, and you've got keyboard and touch screen. Do you know, is that a trick question?
Yeah, no. If you have a keyboard plugged in and detected, or a keyboard and mouse, or I guess it's keyboard plus trackpad, then it will by default behave more like a Windows 7 desktop computer, where you will get a start menu popping up in the bottom left-hand corner when you click the start button. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a keyboard enabled, then it will go full screen, but Microsoft have also learned and they're giving the user choice, so you can override those defaults, and also it will detect when the keyboard goes away and offer to switch you into the keyboardless mode, but by popping up a notification, but it won't necessarily force you into that mode.
That's good to know.
I mean, they also showed off, obviously, big things in terms of there's Cortana, the virtual assistant, is coming to desktop and tablets and is learning some more useful productivity tricks, like you can go and ask it to look for files and say, right, I want PowerPoint on, where did I, look for PowerPoint on Fluffy Bunnies. And it will go and search your hard drive and your OneDrive and your OneDrive for Business and stuff. Or you can say, show me photos from December 2013, and it will go off and find those and stuff. As well as, obviously, all the things about flight tracking and letting you know when it's time to leave work and what your best route is and all of those sort of attempted intelligence things.
Cortana is streets ahead of Siri.
It's great.
It does look interesting.
Streets ahead. And I've got to say, you've got to ask Cortana about Siri. Do you know Siri? And the answers are awesome.
Yeah. I try talking to her. I can really well not in our open plan offices at
Well, I was just about to mention that because I went up the stairs when I got Lee on the Kinect so that he can do all the Xbox on. The first thing I did was shouted upstairs, "Xbox turn off, Leon, your dinner's ready." And yeah, Lee needs to say he wasn't impressed, but the that in the workplace is, you know, it's bound to happen. It's cool, but it's bound to happen.
I mean, the nice ones they were saying is, you know, obviously all of Cortana's stuff you can trigger via typing in the search field as well as doing by voice. But they're trying to give you the option. I mean, obviously a lot of us have a headset on, and if we've got a USB headset, then chatting away won't be quite as intrusive. I agree, we don't want everyone shouting in an open plan office at their computers all day.
Well, Ellis and I can sit at the breakfast bar, and he'll have his Windows 520 at £70 out with Cortana on it, and I'll have my iPhone 6 out, and I'll press and go, "Can I do the following? I'm sorry, but at the moment I'm not available." And I get that loads with Siri. I still get it loads with Siri. I got it terribly when I had an iPhone 4, and I'm still getting it with the iPhone 6 now. Ellis says the same thing, and it comes back with a whole string of stuff. And the results, even when Siri works, the results from Cortana are far better than the results that I get from Siri. It's not good. It's not good. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. Yes, they're all sitting there going, "I brought a story this week." Well, you shouldn't have talked for 55 minutes about...
Alan's good at that.
Alan's dominated the show.
Sorry.
And where can you get this dominated show from? Well, you can get it from UK2 because they pick up all the bandwidth and hosting stuff. I don't want to use the stuff that we've had with Eric Lanigan to kind of try and sell UK2. But one of the things that I really loved this week, those of you that don't know, Eric Lanigan passed away a year ago. We've got a blog up, Remembering Eric. If you just go to the blog page, you can put some comments down there, say how you felt. And I went straight back and looked through all of the old episodes of The Big Show to find one with Eric on. And there's loads of them on there. Because we've got every episode of The Big Show we've ever done as British Tech Network. So there's like nearly a year of shows with Eric on there. And I went back and watched a couple of them. And that kid was a talent. That kid was a real shining talent. He put us all to shame. And thanks to UK2, I got to do that. I went to go back and look at all the stuff of Eric. If you don't know about Eric, then unfortunately, and I'm painfully aware of this with the blog that we've put up, Eric's family, I've spoken to his father, and Eric's family is very keen for people to write down their reflections and their remembrances of Eric on the blog. So go to the blog, write down your experience, your stories, anything funny, anything witty, anything that's pleasant and nice about Eric, and help his mum and dad look at that and feel some kind of satisfaction that tech community really felt for Eric. The other thing is to remember that we're all really raw with it at the moment because we only found out last Friday pretty much. But it's coming up on the anniversary of Eric's death, so he'll have been gone for nearly a year in a few weeks' time. So it's really nice because that's going to be a very painful time for his family, that they can look back and see that blog, and when that horrible time comes around of a year having passed, they can look back and see some really nice comments. So please go on the blog. It's dead easy to find. Just called Remembering Eric, and put some nice things down. Say some good stuff because the kid was really one of the great people that we've ever had around British Tech. And as I said in the blog, he put me to shame on regular. We used to just roll Royce up and start shows, and he was there already prepared and stuff. And he really was a talent. So I'm sorry that we've lost him, definitely. Right. Have we got any cool things? I'm going to start with someone else because Alan's stolen the entire freaking show. Jeff, what's your cool thing, mate?
Well, I have two, unless I've already talked about one. Did I talk about the vibrator you can control from smartwatches already?
No, you didn't.
Well, then here's our first cool thing. This company, I've talked about them before, Oh My Bod. They do a lot of wireless connected sex toys. They have one that I got to see and play with for a few minutes at CES. And it's like a clitoral vibrator. So you can It doesn't have to be inserted into anything to do its magic. And then it links up through Bluetooth to a smartwatch. And then you can control the vibrator from your smartwatch. And they have it set up so that you'll be able to actually control it remotely, so you can do it over Wi-Fi. So you don't even have to be in the same place. And the demo version that they had, the prototype, was on one of the Motorola smartwatch, and they're going to have it for Apple Watch when that comes out too. But what it'll do is use the pulse sensors that are built into the back of the watch, and so you can use your own pulse to control the vibrator. And hold on, pulse. I will get a link for this.
I'm going to say
they don't have a direct product link yet, but I'll drop the website in.
Oh, what a shame! I joked about the fact that I wasn't going to go to CES because the Adult Video Awards weren't on at the same time anymore. But actually, it sounds like it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. Hang with me, and you'll be able to find the stuff.
Everyone else from the Mac Observers out there going, oh, look at that, and all Ludl, Jeff's looking around for all the lurid stuff.
I say good on you.
Okay.
Bronwyn sent me a link in the chat room.
I'm not clicking.
A heated rod.
All you have to do is read the link. You don't have to click it. If you read it, it will tell you all you need to know.
Where's the fun in that, Kelly? Jesus.
You know, and I did see the thing that's in the chat room. I saw the article about the thing that's in the chat room, the Fleshlight warmer. I'm kind of concerned about the temperature. I'm afraid it would actually cook you a little bit. Yeah, but okay. So the other cool thing that I have, and I do have a good link for that, I believe, is NASA has released an image from the Hubble telescope, and it is the largest Hubble image they've ever released, and it's 1.5 billion pixels, jeez, and it's a slice of the Andromeda galaxy.
Wow!
And it is fracking cool.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's no, that's a screen capture from the Snow Leopard desktop.
But clearly taken from a Retina Mac, so that you get the extra resolution.
Exactly. No, 4.3 gigabytes. We were out the other night. Bryony came home and she said, "Dad, can we get the telescope out?" Yeah, all right, let's get the telescope out. So we looked at Jupiter and we saw three of the four moons. And then I turned it around and put it on Andromeda. And everyone was like, "You see those cluster of stars there?" Because we only see it really faintly here because of the light pollution. I see that cluster of stars, that's Andromeda. And that's going to collide with us. When? 3.5 billion years, but you'll be fine, don't worry.
But here it comes!
Duck!
Your patience, young Jedi.
That's an awesome thing. I'm going to leave that up, but I can't start downloading it now, otherwise you lot are gone. Great pizza. Yeah. I like the second one, not the first one, though. Have I got any editing this week? Yeah, I have at the start, I suppose. Kelly G, what have you got for us, Mrs.?
So I have something. This is the new gadget from a company called 10-1 Design. They make the Pogo Stylus. And a couple of other things I can't think of right now, but primarily because I really like the Pogo, the various flavors of Pogo Stylus they've come out with. And this is their new deal, and it's called the Mountie. And here's why it's cool. So these are little clips like this, yeah. And then you put a screen in one side, and then so like I have mine set up to put to clip to the side of my MacBook Pro, which I can't pick up and show you. But you clip one side to your MacBook Pro, and then you press the little buckle down, and it cinches on there. And it's not hurting it. It's all rubber on the inside. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't hurt anything. It doesn't damage your screen. And then you take the other side, and you pop your majigger in there. Oh. And then you can clip it. So then on the end of your MacBook, you can have your phone vertically if you need notifications. So far, my killer use for this is if I'm sitting on the couch or if I'm out somewhere I can charge my phone, you know, or run the cable from my phone to my computer to sync it or whatever. And I don't have to have a dock and I don't have to leave it laying on the table. It's all sort of connected. But it also works with my iPad. I have an iPad Air and I clip my iPad Air in it both this way and this way. And this, using this on the side of my laptop with my iPad clipped in and status board running was amazing. And you can do it anywhere because you don't need a big dock and you don't need, you know, a whole bunch of extra equipment. All you need is this little deal right here. It's called the Mountie. And it's $25 directly from their site. Right now, don't buy it from Amazon because the only place that is selling it on Amazon is selling it for twice that.
Yow.
I have a green one. Yeah, it's like $52. So it's $24.95 from them. There's a green one. There's a blue one. What I got was the green one. And the cool thing about it is all the little thoughtful pieces. Like if what you have to plug in, what you have to clip to the side is an iMac, they have a different little pad for that that you stick on the side. And if you want to use a different phone or you want to clip a different tablet, I tried it with my Nexus 7 and it worked just fine. And all you have to do to adjust the feet is slide this off. You get the other one that you want to put on instead. And then you slide this on and you're done. That's all you have to do. And it's super great. There's going to be a review of it on Mac Observer shortly. And I really like it. It's soft plastic along here so that you're not damaging anything. You know, to clip it to your computer for a long time, like it doesn't really hurt it. Like I haven't seen any trouble with it or anything. And so far, I think it's super fantastic and I'm super excited about having one.
If you want to see what it looks like in blue, I have one right here.
In blue, the Mountie. It looks awesome.
It does.
It's beautiful. I'm super excited about it because it's one of those things that's like really lightweight and like it fits in my pants pocket, which we've already talked on the show many times about how girl pockets are teeny weeny pockets, and this fits in my pocket and it's amazing. And like I left my computer in my lap and clipped my iPad Air to the side of my computer and I could feel that my computer was a little heavier, but it didn't balance weird or anything like that. Like, it still sat in my lap just fine, and everything was cool. So, yeah, I'm super pumped about it.
Excellent.
I can't wait to keep clipping stuff to stuff.
Price isn't bad either, which is nice. Righty, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, as I alluded to earlier, I've got my first Windows 8.1 phone, which is the Lumia 735. And I'm amazed by it, because obviously I've got sitting here an iPhone 6, which is 2.5 times the price. But as you said earlier, that the Windows operating system is absolutely amazing. I'm so surprised how slick it is. It just actually works really, really well. I love these live styles. I love the fact you can arrange the home screen the way you want it, and obviously they're always giving the information when you want it and all that sort of thing. This is the phone that I have for work now, but it's a £200 phone. But I'm kind of regretting the price I paid for this iPhone 6 over this, because this does everything I want it to do. It's got all the apps that I need, all the kind of Twitter, Facebook, all that sort of stuff. But it's just an absolutely good phone. It's really well made. The screen's brilliant. And just, I think Windows Phone is actually coming a hell of a long way. And I can't wait, obviously, because it's Windows 10 compatible as well. I can't wait to see actually what Windows 10 will bring to it as well. But Windows Phone actually, really impressed.
Yes, no, you can't beat the Windows phones. The cheap ones are incredible value.
Yeah, there is £200. It's got Cortana and all that sort of thing, and it's just I love the interface. The interface is absolutely gorgeous, and actually compared to it, iOS looks really stale.
Yeah, no. Sharon's 635 is a stunning phone. She loves it. She wouldn't. She doesn't want anything else. She doesn't want to go to an iPhone. She hates it. Loves the interface. Terry, what have you got for us, sir?
Oh, well, all of the times I've been on here, I've seemed to have recently purchased an audio device. The first time, I think it was these headphones, which are the Baum Wilkins C5s. Then I bought a Bose SL3 Bluetooth speaker. Then I bought another Bluetooth docking station called the Boom Evo. Now I have something called the Fire E18. It's the, I'm going to say this hopefully so it doesn't sound like a sexual act. It's called Kun Lun, not Kun Lin or anything similar to that. But anyway, so it's the Fire E18. What it is, it's three things, maybe even four. It's a digital to analog converter for audio. You have this, I'm going to put it really close to the speaker and hopefully you can see that. But at the bottom there, it has an input which you plug one end into your iPhone or your Android device, and the other into the bottom. And then you flip this little dial at the top and it turns on. Plug your headphones in the top here or the audio out, and there you have a digital to analog converter for your sound, and it works beautifully. The depth of the bass is amazing. The fidelity, the differences in the sounds, it's wonderful. It really is a different experience to listening to your music on your device. My only negative about it being a portable device is that it's a bit chunky when you see you've got your phone and then you've got this cable going into there and then you've got your headphones coming out of there, and it's just a bit fiddly. But oops, there it goes. But that said, it plugs into your computer as well, so you can use it straight into your PC, put your headphones out, and it's lovely. And the third thing it does is, if I show you this little output here, it's a battery charger. It's for your phone, so much like the power gen blocks that you can get with the 2-amp outputs, or the I think 3,500 watt or whatever it is output. No, that's probably too much. But anyway, it's one of those. So yeah, it's very good. I'm very happy with it. And it costs. In fact, there's the Amazon link. How much is it? It's $119.99. Sorry, and it's discounted. I mean, for some reason, it's only got 3.5 stars, but I think those reviews are by idiots.
Well, it could be. You always have to kind of discount those, yeah. Like, I can't believe they charged money for this. I morally oppose this shade of black. You know, that kind of stuff. So
that's my thing, and also this horse that I've been playing with, don't know why, it's just fascinating.
Good. Thanks, mate. Good pick. Digital Amoeba himself, Snookums, Alan Heschel, what is your cool thing for us?
Well, I was trying to bring a bit of counterpoint. I've just let Google into my home. We finally got a Nest thermostat installed.
Oh.
Ooh.
So, I mean, obviously you can buy one outright say, £179. But we actually got one via switching our energy provider. Npower at the moment have a fixed price tariff that they'll throw in a Nest thermostat and free and fitting as part of you moving to that energy price. So we got it via just switching our actually we were already with Npower, so it's just switching our tariff when the old one expired. It has taken three attempts to get it installed. The first company that Npower chose didn't turn up. The second time they just changed the system and started posting the items out, and therefore the installer didn't have the device to come and install it. But third time lucky, it's all in. It's been running since the morning. Obviously, still got lots of things to see how it goes. But it looks beautiful in place in the hall, and hopefully it's all sorted.
Did anyone else already skip to the end to the last bit of how this turns out? With the time when he tries to adjust the temperature and gets back, "I'm sorry, Snookums, I'm afraid I can't do that."
It's fine, you know. I'm just waiting until, obviously, Google, having taken over Nest, will, at one point or other get Google Now on it, and I'll just have Cortana shouting at it. with Google now shouting back. You know, there'll be war.
I sort of like the idea of combining them together.
Yeah.
The problem is, you know, having a war with your thermostat is not good because you don't want to be freezing or boiling. Yeah.
It's a fight for your life.
Yeah.
The one of the guys down at London Mac User Group, Paul, he's got one, and Darren Griffin was looking at buying one, and he said, "Anyone know anyone got any horror stories about this?" And I showed him Paul's direction, and Paul said, "No, it's fine. It's really good. It's great. You get off the phone, you get off the tube, and you can flick the heating on and things like that when you're away." And mm-hmm. he said it's absolutely brilliant. So.
I mean, I know in the UK, the other sort of major competitor is, I think it's British Gas are doing a Hive.
The Hive, yeah.
Intelligent thermostat, mm-hmm. which I know a lot of people have ended up with. But, you know, I have to say, you know, it's beautifully engineered, the actual mm-hmm. Nest thermostat and stuff. It really does show that it was an ex Apple hardware designer went and designed mm-hmm. the Nest.
Who's now been put in charge of glass, isn't it?
Yeah. We were going to do that at our house. We were going to pick up a Nest. But at the time, there was no indication of any sort of interest that they had in interoperating with anything else. So it was like, your Nest only does your Nest, and it's the only thing, and it refuses to acknowledge there's anything else going on. So at the time, we went with a different thermostat that is still Wi-Fi-able, and you can run it with your phone and stuff and adjust it as you need to. So now that at CES, I think it was, Nest announced that they have a bunch more integration coming. So that's kind of hopeful. And now I will give you a plug for an app to go with that. I know an app developer named Joe Workman, and Joe Workman has an app that allows you to run your Nest from your menu bar.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
So yeah, I'm gonna grab the name of it right now. I can't remember what he called it. I know it was clever.
Is that
and I was,
if
oh, that's
you're
good.
On
and
Mac?
Now,
is that if you're on Mac?
Mac or PC?
Mac only. Is that Mac only?
The menu bar item is yeah.
Yeah, so that's Alan out then.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's called Climate.
Thanks for trying, though, Kale.
And you want to run it from your Mac. It's called Climate, and it's got a little round green icon with a little leaf on it, and it's pretty. I've played with it. I can't use it, obviously, but I've gotten to play with it, and it's pretty nifty, and I recommend it. So there you go.
Thank you very much, Kelly.
I mean, not surprisingly, given that Google is deliberately anti-Microsoft, there's no official Nest app on Windows Phone.
No!
There are some third-party versions.
There's got to be a web thingy.
And yeah, you know, you can use it via the website, but there are some third-party apps for it, but no official app because you know Google wants to kill Microsoft.
Of course,
or at least Windows Phone.
Excellent, good pick, mate. Next, I'm really looking into this. I think I might go for it.
They look cool. I've been following it for since they brought it out, but I think it was a Kickstarter once upon a time, wasn't it?
That sounds about right, but. Google bought them. No, Google bought them. It was a Kickstarter. I'm pretty sure you're right there, yeah.
Mm. And but they've also brought out, and I think, I'm not entirely sure if this is Nest, but I'm sure that there's some, like, super amazing smoke detector as well that they do. Yeah,
they do the Nest Protect.
Yeah. That's it, yeah.
Smoke and carbon monoxide. Mm.
It's smoke and carbon monoxide, which is...
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
The other one
it had some issues, but it's out again now, I think.
Yeah, is apparently you can, if you want to get really big into Nest, you can actually have up to 6 of their thermostats dotted around your house, and they'll work out and do multi-zone and stuff.
Wow.
They talk to each other.
Complicated stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Because my mum and dad have got a single thermostat thing, and they've got it in the hallway. And my dad's mm-hmm. always walking around going, Jesus, it's hot in there. And we've got it in the hallway, and the hallway's freezing cold. That's wrong.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's another nice one is you can choose, you have to pay a little extra, but basically there's a stand and plug-in to wall thing, so you can actually choose to have your Nest portable, the actual thermostat, and move it and put it wherever you want, not fix it to the wall.
Mm.
Because in the UK with combi boilers, the Nest comes in two parts. There's a white box that that actually gets hardwired in to your home, to your boiler, and next to your boiler. And then there's the pretty dial, which actually just needs a power supply. And as I say, they've got a freestanding stand. You can choose not to have it fitted on the wall.
Yeah,
cool.
Good pick, mate. Thank you very much.
No problem.
We'll be back again next week as normal. We'll be back at the normal time as well, I think. And Max show's going to be kind of normal, but maybe a bit later because the problem is I've got to go and pick the kids up from school. So, shows that. So, we'll be kind of back to normal next week, I hope, on timings. If you've got anything you'd like to say about Eric, please leave it on the blog at rememberingeric on britishtechnetwork.com. And failing that, have a good week. Thanks for listening.